Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Thank you, church, for receiving us. Brother Riffle yesterday came in. We were supposed to get here earlier, around 6. We started our trip from Oklahoma area on Friday and then drove about 8 or 9 hours yesterday. And I forgot that we were in Central Time and that we were going to lose an hour. And then on top of that, in the morning, we went to just double check and make sure that my wife was COVID free. And so I don't know if you had plans last night. I hope I didn't interrupt those plans. But he was here waiting for us and opened the door, showed us around. And the prophet's chamber is very comfortable. Just thank you just for the accommodations, for the gift cards, for the blessing that y'all have been over the years and that you continue to be to our family. We count it a privilege for us to be able to be part of your missions family. Pastor wanted us to be here for missions conference, but unfortunately, we already had those days booked. And so I told him, so sorry, Pastor. I know it would have been great to spend more time with the church, but I'm glad that at least we were able to schedule in this day and be able to be here. And I still remember when I came, my wife was not able to come. It was during some kind of Christmas outreach. And all I remember, or one thing that actually stood out to me, was all the scripture that was memorized by all the people that were acting. And Pastor didn't stay behind. There were a lot of verses that he had to quote. And I was impressed. I said, Preacher, hats off to you, you know, great job. And so even though he's not here, that's always kind of stuck in my mind from the last time that I was here. All right, let's read here in 1 Thessalonians. I'm not there yet. You're probably there. Here it is. All right, good. And I got my English Bible, my King James Bible. So this is not my Spanish Bible. So don't worry. You'll be able to understand exactly what I am saying. Let's read one verse. And then we'll kind of elaborate as we expound on the scriptures. It says in verse 3, this is what we're going to be focusing on. It says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your grace that saved us and your grace that sustains us, your grace that motivates us. Your grace that is sufficient, Lord, even in times when we go through trials and we feel we can't keep going. Lord, there you are. Your grace is there to help us. Thank you, Lord, about those songs. Think about your love for our lives. I pray, Lord, that as we sing about your grace and we sing about your love, that it will compel us, it will motivate us, Lord, to serve you, to love you, to be better sons and daughters of God. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. During the pandemic in 2020, all the world went chaotic. Everybody went crazy. They didn't know about this coronavirus 19 that was spreading all over the world. It was interesting as we were just getting news that it was arriving in the Dominican Republic and hearing rumors that we were possibly going into a lockdown. I'm hearing news that here in the U.S., people are running out of toilet paper. How many of y'all remember those days? Amen. And there were not fun days, I believe. But as we went out to buy some food, some groceries, you know, we went straight to to check to see if there were toilet paper in the DR. You know, we were afraid too. And it was stacked. I mean, we had plenty of toilet paper. And the only thing we were missing were a bag of chips. And so, you know, I don't know which one you need the most, toilet paper or a bag of chips. I guess I'll leave that up to you. But it was a difficult time in the whole world. Everyone was afraid. Everyone had anxiety. Everyone was, you know, wearing masks, wearing gloves, and then just protecting themselves because they didn't want to attract this virus. They wanted to keep themselves safe from it. And so they did everything they could. And scientists were saying, be careful. It can stay on the ground and on surfaces for a long time. So make sure you wash your hands and use hand sanitizer and, you know, all the different precautions to just avoid the spread of this virus. Here in 1 Thessalonians, we find a church that was a contagious church. A church that didn't have coronavirus, right? Amen. But a church that was spreading the word of God, that was spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 8. It says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith to Godward." What does it say? "Is spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything." Wow. This church had a testimony. This church was an example to all the other churches in the region of a church that spread the good news of Jesus. Now, the same way that you can spread the gospel, that you can spread the good news, that you can spread love, that you can spread kindness, the same way hate could be contagious. You know, and we saw that during the pandemic, people cutting in line, people fighting with each other over toilet paper, you know, and people fighting over a certain spot in the store to be able to get everything that they needed. As people began to become desperate, this hate, this mindset of me first was spread all over the U.S. And I'm glad that here's a church that has such a great example of a church that God used to spread the good news, to spread the gospel. And that's what I want North Coast Baptist Church to do there in Nagua. I hope that ought to be your desire as well, that you'll be able to spread the good news here in Rutledge, here in Georgia, here in America, but also around the world, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. And there are several things that I see in this passage that I would like to share with you, that this church, that these believers had, that because of it, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to them, he's saying, "I see these things in you. And because I see these traits and I see this kind of character and this certain lifestyle in you, you became a church to spread the good news of Jesus Christ." Number one, this was a church that had a work of faith. Work of faith. Let's look at verse 3 again. It says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith." Look at verse number 5. And here's how they received that faith. It says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Hold your place there. Go with me to the book of Acts chapter 17. And in Acts chapter 17, we find the story when Paul went to Thessalonica and when he preached the gospel there, and how these Thessalonians received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the same way that they got saved is the same way that the old saints got saved in the Old Testament, and is the same way that today everyone could be saved. And we'll see that here in chapter 17. Verse number 2, it says, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them in Thessalonica, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and rise again from the dead," there's the gospel, "and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ." And so he went there and he preached the gospel. He preached that Jesus was the Messiah, that he died and he was buried and he rose again, that he is the Christ. He preached the gospel. And what happened? Verse number 4. "And some of them believed." I'm so glad that even though not everybody gets saved, I'm glad that when you preach the gospel, some do believe. You know, this past anniversary at our church, we had 140 some people come. It was a blessing. We had a packed church. It was exciting. We had a guest speaker come in from the DR, a great preacher, and he preached a great message on salvation. And I am in the back listening. I'm watching and I'm thinking, wow, Lord, please give us at least one soul. And I thought, By the way, the atmosphere, you can just tell the tension. You can tell the conviction of sin on the people. I'm thinking, man, we're probably going to have 2, 3, 5, maybe 10 people saved today. And he gave the invitation, and only one soul got saved. Tell you what, that one soul was worth it. Amen. That one soul was worth it all. But all of them heard the gospel, but not all believed. Not all got saved. And that's what happened with when he was preaching here in Thessalonica, when he preached the gospel in the synagogues, when he gave the gospel, not all believed, but some did believe. And that some in that small group that accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, that group, the Bible says that they spread the gospel all over the region in Macedonia and Achaia. It doesn't take many for the Lord to use to spread the gospel. It took 12 apostles for the Lord to use to spread the gospel all over the world back in this time. And it only takes a few that are willing to give the gospel to others for God to use them so that people could be saved and lives could be changed. This church, these individuals, these believers, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. They placed their trust in Jesus Christ, and the word of God was fundamental to their salvation. They heard the word of God. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When I got saved, someone took a track and they read those verses and they explained to me the plan of salvation. They were given to me the word of God. It was through the word of God that I got saved. It was through the word of God that the church at Thessalonica got saved. And it was with the word of God that you heard the gospel and you got saved. And so the work of faith, their faith started with putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, putting their trust in the word of God. And we know that Titus 3:5-7, it tells us that not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Salvation is not by works. Salvation is not by something that I can do. Salvation is by what Jesus did for us on the cross. What's the difference between all religions around the world and Christianity? All religions around the world are saying you must do something to get to heaven. You must do something. You must give. You must kneel down. You must sacrifice. You must do something to gain God's favor. But Christianity says there's nothing I can do to gain God's favor. Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, provided the way for us to get to heaven. And all we have to do is repent of our sins and put our faith and trust in Christ. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It all starts with putting our faith and trust in Christ. This church was used of the Lord because they were saved, because they trusted the word of God. They trusted Jesus Christ, their work of faith. And so as they got saved, after they got saved, then we can say that their faith was put to work. There was evidence that their faith was real. There was evidence in their lives that other people saw that said, wow, there's something different about these people now after they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me in verse number 9. We're back in 1 Thessalonians in verse number 9. Look what it says about them, the transformation that they had after they heard about the gospel. It says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. This is Paul talking about the church. It says, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Look at verse number 13. Verse number 13 in chapter 2. There's no verse 13 in chapter 1, if you notice, right? Chapter 2, verse number 13 through verse number 14, it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, here it is. It says, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which are in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. They heard the gospel, they heard the word of God, they received it as it is, and because of it, their lives were changed. They used to serve idols. Now they have destroyed their idols, they have left that lifestyle, and now here they are, different, serving the true and living God. And people saw this. The Apostle Paul saw this. And because of their testimony, and because they had a relationship with Jesus instead of just a religion, because they had a relationship with the Lord, God used that testimony that they had to spread the gospel around their region. You know, I think about the first church, the church in Jerusalem, and how they were all, the Bible says they were all in one accord. Everybody was together. Everyone was looking after each other. They were loving one another. They were amazed that this Jesus had died for their sin. They finally understood, wow, this is the Messiah. We cried out to crucify him, and yet he died for us. They realized who he really was, and that changed their lives. Now they're all together, thousands of Jews together in this church. And the Bible tells us that others believe, others receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that it wasn't just because they preached the gospel. I think their testimony that they had, the fact that they were one accord, the fact that they love one another, the fact that they were willing to sell their properties, their houses, to help those that were in need. Others saw what they were doing and said, wow, there's something different about them. What is it? Is that carpenter Jesus? Is that compassionate Jesus that now is their Savior? They've been changed. And so this church had a faith that worked, a faith that produced works. A faith without works is dead, says James. And so this church here in First Thessalonians were able to spread the gospel because they had a work of faith. Number two, because they had a labor of love. Verse 3 tells us, labor of love. You know, love is the greatest motivator out there. You know, most of you, you'll get up tomorrow morning to go to work because you love your family, because you love your children, because you want to provide for them, because you want to perhaps prepare them for college. You want to save up to help them go to college. Love is the greatest motivator. Think about Jacob and the many years that he worked because he loved a young lady by the name of Rachel. Think about the extra years after he already worked 7 years, and then he was told, well, you need to work another 7 years to get my young girl. You know, love is a great motivator. You know, I remember when I met my wife in the Dominican Republic on a missions trip. There we went down with my church, and her pastor, which was a missionary there that our church supported, told me, hey, look, I know you're probably getting set up in every church you go, but I'm not trying to set you up. But look, there's a young lady in our church, great young lady, loves the Lord, serving the Lord. She's been growing a lot. You need to pray about her. I said, I appreciate that. And I shook her hand. I said, hello. And that was it. Maybe a few weeks later, I saw a post of a special Dominican dish or dessert. And I had not seen it in a long time. And so I commented. I said, wow, that looks awesome. I wish I could have some. And that just started a conversation. We began to get to know each other. We had a lot of similarities. I was the only one in my family that was a Christian, and the same for her, and we had similar goals, and little by little, as we got to know each other, then I said, I think I should go back to the DR on a trip and get to know her even better, right? And I went, spent some time with her. We became boyfriend and girlfriend, and obviously we were courting, and this was with the purpose of one day marrying. But later on, that was in August, then in October of that same year, I couldn't wait for another 2 or 3 months to see her. I wanted to see her. And so I was in a meeting in New York City, and I had Monday through Friday open, didn't have a meeting. So I went and purchased some tickets that were cheaper from there, round trip, like $200. I mean, unheard of stuff. So I said, I'm going down to the DR, and I'm going to surprise her, you know, and I'm going to spend time with her. You know, those $200, I had to save up for them, you know. But, hey, I loved her. I wanted to spend time with her. I was willing to, you know, go down to the DR and maybe be a little uncomfortable for a few days. Why? Because I wanted to spend time with her. I loved her, and I still love her. And, I mean, I spent hours in the car with her yesterday, you know, 9-10 hours in the car. You know, you think you'll probably get bored after several years of doing that. And even in the ministry, I don't get bored. I love her more and more every day. And I'm thankful the Lord provided her and brought her into my life. But love is the greatest motivator. And what Paul is saying is, I have seen, Thessalonians, your faith. I've seen that you've gotten saved. I've seen that your life has been transformed. And I've seen that there's evidence. And because of your testimony, others are coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But also, you had something special in your life. You had a labor of love. This church was willing to sacrifice. This church was willing to do what was not considered normal in their society. This church was willing to set aside their needs and help others. And because the Apostle Paul saw this lifestyle that they had, and because they had this testimony, then verse number 8, it says that their faith to Godward is spread abroad. Labor of love. It's interesting that the word labor and love are there together. Labor means to work hard. You know, sometimes sacrificing is not easy. And this church was willing to do that, was willing to sacrifice to be able to reach other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This love here is the agape love, is the unconditional love, the selfless love, that love that gives itself away without expecting anything in return. So we see their work of faith, labor of love, and lastly, we'll finish. It says in verse number 3, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. How was the Lord able to use this church to spread the gospel all over the region? Well, this church had a certain patience that was evident. Patience here has the idea of being steadfast, of endurance, of being constant, of not changing. This church, after they got saved, after they learned sound doctrine, after they were trained, they didn't change. And we live in an age where a lot of churches are changing. We live in a time where a lot of people are dropping their doctrines just to make people happy. But I'm glad that we were in a church today, and we've seen in these last couple of weeks churches that have not changed. Churches that are still preaching the gospel. Churches that are still reaching the community. Churches that are still supporting missionaries. Churches that have a love and a compassion for lost souls. That is a blessing and encouragement to us. But this church was used of the Lord to spread the gospel because everyone noticed that they were expecting the Lord. They were living as if Jesus was coming back that day. And I'll tell you what, that will change your perspective of life. When you begin to live in a way where you think, the Lord might come back tonight. Think about it. If the Lord were to tell you, I'm coming back tonight at 8 o'clock, what would you do? What would you straighten out this afternoon? Who would you tell the gospel to this afternoon? Who would you reach out to with love and care so that they can come to church? We need to live in light of eternity. This church was steadfast. This church was constant, was faithful. And because of their faithfulness, and because they were waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ, God used that to be able to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 10, and we're almost done. Verse 10 says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. This church was waiting on the Lord. Got busy to serve. They got busy loving on people. They got busy reaching people. They got busy preaching the word of God. And God used their testimony. And because of their faithfulness, their steadfastness, they didn't give up. Hey, listen, your friends may give up. They may stop coming to church. But don't leave church because they left church. Don't stop serving the Lord because others have stopped. You stay faithful to the Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll finish in this verse right here. Chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, verse number 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verse number 58. It says, therefore, why is therefore there? Is there for a reason, as some preachers say. In the passages before that, it's talking about the resurrection. And it's talking about the rapture as well. It's talking about the time where we're going to be, there's going to be a resurrection, that we're going to be caught up. Thessalonians talks about that. So there's going to come a time when we're finally going to have a perfect body. There's going to come a time when we're going to be in heaven and we'll no longer see corruption. Praise God for that. We're going to be in heaven, a place where there's no more tears, no more sorrow. Hey, young people, no more homework, no more school. Praise God. It's going to be a perfect place and everything's going to be exciting in heaven. But before we get there, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, because we're going to have a changed body, we're going to be in heaven forever, and we're going to enjoy all those benefits. We have a victory in Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, what should we do? He says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, I've heard so many missionaries. I just met a missionary this past week in Venezuela, and just all that they have to go through just to live. This is not just to have church services or to witness to people, just to survive. Just all the things that they have to go through. And they're there serving the Lord. You know, they're there because they want to see people saved. They're there because they want to reach them that are lost, reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This church, the Thessalonians, these believers, were contagious believers. Bible says they were spreaders. Everywhere they went, when people heard about them, they said, wow, there's something special about them. And I want what they have. My question to you this morning is, when your neighbors look at your life, when your family looks at your family, when other church members perhaps look at your life, can they see Jesus? Can they see a life transform? Can they see a Christian, a believer that wants to do God's will? I tell you what, I want to be like the Thessalonians. I want to be a spreader. I want to be a contagious Christian. I want to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we can gather together in your house. Lord, we can stay here all day and hear the many stories of how you saved individuals, how you have saved families here in this building. It's all by your grace. It's through faith, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that someone took the time to share the gospel, to share the word of God in our lives. Thank you for saving us, oh Lord. Even before the foundations of the earth, you knew us. You knew our condition. You knew our need. And Jesus, you were willing to come down, become mankind, be sinless, but be human so that you can die for our sins so that we can be saved. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. I pray you help us, Lord, now that we're saved. I pray, Lord, you help us to have that labor of love. Help us, Lord, to love people the same way you loved us, in the same way you gave yourself for us. Help us, Lord, to share that love with others, to have compassion for others. And Lord, as we serve you, and as we love you and love others, I pray you help us, Lord, to be patient in hope. Help us to be steadfast. Help us to be consistent. Help us to stay faithful, Lord, in serving you. Help us, oh Lord, to spread the good news the same way that this church had a testimony that they were spreaders, that their faith, their testimony, their story got through the whole region, and because of it, others came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Use us, oh Lord, help us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.